Today we are bringing forth a message on equality, And this message, it is geared towards our month of celebration of Black History Month. But I want you to know that this message is not exclusive. It is inclusive to everyone, to each and every individual who is ever hearing this message right now, because we must understand that viewing people from the inside out is looking past the outside so you can truly know them. It is the way God sees us and the only way that we should see ourselves and others in the world. So today, our text will be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 16, as I've already given you the precept on it. I'm pretty sure that you already know where I'm going. That is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. And those verses read, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" What I want us to know is that the last few years of the 1960s, they were some of the most turbulent times for the African American community. However, we must understand that there were some people that we would say were simply innocent bystanders. And as we oftentimes hear, that racial insecurities are not born, but they are taught. And we must understand that therefore the inkling never entered many of their minds that justice, liberties, and opportunities to succeed were not as guaranteed to those as African Americans as they were to other brothers and sisters of different nationalities. We must understand that through it all, no matter what we have to come through in life, is that Jesus Christ, he came here for equality. He came here for each and every one of us, and more so Christians rather than anyone else. And we must understand that through it all, no matter what we have been through, no matter what we have gone through, yes, we might change our laws or even rearrange our common living spaces to the point where everything is politically fair, yet our politicians and our politics and our legislature will never be able to see how you or me physically and emotionally view each other. The one thing is something that each of us must personally do, however, in order for this mad, confusing world to actually survive. And that is to know that all people, whether it is African American, Asian American, Caucasian American, Islamic American, Latino American, Native American, or other American communities, must change the way we view each other and see the world. We must, because we cannot afford to wait on our government officials to pass the law that guarantees everyone's right. So we must make sure that we give everyone those same equal rights as ourselves. We must strive to see beyond the transparency of our own dividing barriers. We must unite for the sake of saving our American nation, as well as aiding the rest of humanity. Yes, we must change the way that we see our neighbors. Yes, we must correct the way that we even treat our enemies. We must stop focusing on what we see on the outside of a person. We must take time to look within, to view a person as a person instead of an expendable object. We can do it, because we will never know how good the book is until we read past the first cover. You cannot simply look at a cover of a book and determine if it's going to be a good book or not, because it's not what is always on the outside, but what is on the inside. We must understand, my brothers and my sisters, for those of you who grew up in a traditional church as myself, I grew up in a church where we would read out of what is known as a hymnal. And something that would amaze you about a hymnal is that I was reading a hymnal, and one day I decided to do some research on the very hymnal that I was reading. And as I was reading the research on the hymnal, something struck me about one of the ladies that wrote a lot of the hymns and the hymnal. Her name is Fanny Crosby. And as I was doing some research on Fanny Crosby, who has written more than 8,500 hymns, who knows the Bible from front and back by heart, what amazed me about Fanny Crosby is that she not only wrote some of the most greatest hymns that we read, as we read and sing the hymns, "Draw Me Nearer, 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 Blessedness to the Cross," and "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, Oh What a Foretaste of Glory Divine." Those hymns inspire each and every one of us. But one of the things that I did that you have to do on research, simply reading the hymns and singing the hymns will only give you one perception. But what if I was to tell you that Fanny Crosby, the one that wrote those hymns, the one that wrote the most famous hymns that we still sing today in our churches and have even revamped them into contemporary gospel music, what if I was to tell you that Fanny Crosby, although she memorized the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, even to reading a strong concordance, what if I was to tell you that Fanny Crosby, the one that today has written more than 8,500 hymns, knew the Bible from front to back, wrote songs that me and you sing today in praise and worship, how would you feel if I was to tell you that the very songs that we look at and read her music in the same Bible that we read out of, that Fanny Crosby read out of, what if I was to tell you that Fanny Crosby was born blind? Fanny Crosby was born blind, writing 8,500 hymnals, memorizing the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You cannot judge it simply off of how it looks, because it's not what's on the outside, but it is what is on the inside. When they asked Fanny Crosby, well, how was she inspired to write the hymns, she said that it was not hymns to her, but those were her prayers that she wrote unto God. Yet we sing them. You must understand, my brothers and my sisters, that she was thinking about her covenant with God and her promise to God to serve Him no matter what. No matter what Fanny Crosby went through, it did not take her thought off of God. Although she cannot spiritually see, although she cannot physically see, she still had a spirituality. She still had spiritual insight that she would serve God. And that is the commitment that we need to have to equality. It was even so much so that Fanny Crosby, when she was 95 years old, they gave her an interview and they asked her, they said, if God was able to grant you one wish, what wish would it be? And her answer blew my mind, Brother Slade. Her answer, she simply told them, she said, after being blind for 95 years of my life, she said, the one thing that I would ask for, she said, is to stay blind for the rest of my life. She said, because the very first and the only thing that I want to see is my Jesus face. And I believe that if we had a made up mind as Fanny Crosby, the lady who wrote 8,500 hymns, knew her Bible from Genesis to Revelation by heart, can quote the Bible, can preach the Bible, that we would ultimately be that much closer to the cross. We have to understand that we cannot look at a racial divide as only opposition, but we have to look past it. We must look into it to see, where does it actually come from? Where does the divide come from? Because God said that He's not looking at the outer appearance, but He is looking at the heart. I guarantee you, my brothers and my sisters, that if we were to look at the heart, if we were to get past what is on the outside and go into the deepness of whatever it is we are looking at, then we would see that we are, no matter what our culture is, no matter what we drive, no matter where we live, no matter what the divide is, that if we were to look past it all, that there is some unity in there somewhere, that each and every one of us has gone through something that we can relate to someone else, because in the eyes of God, we are all equal. Well, no matter if what your racial color is, no matter what your religion background is, we should look at each other as equality, and we should be equal with one another, because that is what ultimately Christ came, and he was born, and he died, and he resurrected for, and he is coming back again. He said that he's coming back for a people without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He is looking for people who are coming. When he's come back, he's looking for a unified people, and that's what we have to be. And in order for us to be unified, we must see ourselves as equal. We cannot look at each other as being better than or lower than. We must look at each other, no matter what your height, no matter what your stature is, that we are eye to eye in the eyes of God. And that is where God wants us to be in this day and age. And I believe that we can and we will get back to what God has for us, because this is what we need to accomplish. Because we must understand that a Christian celebration of ethnic diversity is a frontal attack on the dragon of human pride. We must understand that in exalting the glory of God, we undercut the power of sin. A Christian celebration of ethnic diversity is a frontal attack on the dragon of human pride. No ground at the foot of the cross is raised above another. No slightly higher heel assigned to certain ethnicities. God first levels our pride of equality of our creation. If you don't believe me, you can read that over in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Then Christ packs the ground tight in equality of our redemption. If you don't believe me, that's over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And here is neither black nor white, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ. Such specific verses and truths are what lodge in a soul when the gospel goes to work on racism and divide. That is my story and song as I end this. Blessings and peace and love, my brothers and my sisters. I look forward to seeing you. You can join us today in worship at 11 a.m. for the Empowered Experience Worship Service at 11 a.m. Our address is 2205 East Palmdale Boulevard, Palmdale, California. I look forward to seeing you there.